This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. Denver, Colorado. Today we are out on the road. We're actually just returning from Spokane, Washington, and had a flight delay, and so we ended up here in a hotel at the expense of Southwest Airlines, but here we are, and glad to be speaking to you.
Yes, and today we're going to be talking about how can you travel, especially if you have a big family and you don't have a big amount of money.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, travel, sometimes when we talk about travel, we're only thinking vacation time. And honest to goodness, yeah, that's when a lot of us are doing most of our travel. But, you know, there's so many other opportunities and requirements for us to be on the road where we could be taking our family. And the possibility of doing it affordably opens up so many doors for family adventures, for school and educational opportunities, and for ministry.
And, you know, one thing that we've always tried to do is whenever we can, we take our family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that's kind of challenging right now. We're in full-time ministry. This is what we do, speaking and writing full-time. And that is about half the income we had when I was an engineer. Mm-hmm. But we're on the road so much, I feel like we've got to take our children, Hal, because I don't want to lose my kids teaching other people how to raise theirs.
Absolutely. That's the kind of calculation we all have to do as parents and as believers. And so having a way to do this affordably and keeping within a budget is going to be a very critical thing in our decision process. So one thing that we found is since we went out on the road with ministry purposes, I guess in 2010, so we've been out doing this now for a few years, and very quickly we found out the cost adds up tremendously if every time you stop, you go into a restaurant, or when the night comes, you rent two hotel rooms at the full rate. It'll break the bank quickly.
It really will, and there's so many reasons we want to be able to take our kids with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have family emergencies that they have to travel.
Yeah.
You know, they
right.
And but business trips is something that I think a lot of people don't talk about.
You know, and I remember we started doing this a long time ago. We just realized that when I got sent on a business trip, especially if it's like a week-long training class, oftentimes my managers did not care one way or the other if my family traveled along at our expense. And you know, I found for a lot of the places we went, because we live on the East Coast, a lot of the places they sent us, like Atlanta or to Johnson City, Tennessee, or even as far as Boston, it really was not much more. The expense was about the same for them to fly me or to just give me the mileage to drive my van.
Well, really, you know, as we've traveled on ministry, how we found that's true pretty much all over the country.
That's true.
The cost of the flights for two people,
yeah,
pretty much equals what it would cost to drive.
And that's because we're driving a 15-passenger van and a heavy trailer.
Yeah.
You know, if you're driving a car that's more efficient, then, you know, the cost of two airfares will take you all over the place.
And, yeah, I'll never forget that trip to Boston we made, Hal, because mm-hmm. we'd never been there with the children, and we were able to see so much. We saw Old North Church, mm-hmm. where, you know, Paul Revere was signaled. We saw the we took the Patriots Trail. We went out to Cape Cod, and we saw Plymouth. It was incredible. And I think, you know, we might have given that up.
You just bypass it and say, okay, Dad's gone for a week. So
instead, we had a fantastic family field trip that we will never forget.
Right. So,
let's talk about how we've been able to keep our cost very, very low
mm-hmm.
for traveling.
Well, okay, let's go with lodging, because that's one that we can just absolutely knock the bottom out of lodging cost if we use a little bit of strategy and a little different mentality to the way that we go places. Now, of course, the easiest thing is if you have friends or you have family that you can, you know, arrange it and it's convenient for you, you stay over with friends or family. That didn't cost anything.
Right. But there's other options, too, because one thing we've done when the weather's has been good is we've gone camping.
Right.
Yeah. You know, because, and that, you know, the cool thing about camping is you get to stay some places you couldn't stay otherwise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we camped under the redwoods at Calaveras Big Trees in California.
Right. And we camped in the high desert in New Mexico and out on the Great Plains.
in places that, you know, if we were in hotels, I think about that. You remember that trip to Wyoming, Hal?
Right.
And we stayed in, was it Flaming Gorge?
Yeah.
And that night when we set up the tent, the only light, 360 degrees looking around we could see, was the yellow light bulb outside the bathhouse.
That's right. That's the first place I ever saw the Milky Way from one horizon to the other.
It is the most amazing display of stars I'd ever seen. And you know what? If we'd been in a hotel, we would never have seen that.
No. And let me tell you something else, too. You have to take a different mentality. You know, if you... Most of us, when we think of camping, the camping is the purpose itself. And so we think about we're going to go rough it out in the wilderness, and we're going to hike, and we're going to look for bear tracks and stuff. And you can do all of that kind of thing. But if you're doing it just for lodging along the way, you streamline it, and it doesn't become as nearly as big a production.
And you get more used to setting everything up. I know. Yeah. We've gotten to where we can set up a whole campsite with two huge tents.
Right.
For, in, you know, 30 minutes.
Yeah. And so, it you know, something to try out sometime if you're going to travel a distance with several stops along the way. Camping may actually be a very plausible thing for you to do.
Now, let me say this.
Yes.
Because a lot of people say, oh, the equipment is so expensive.
Uh-huh.
And it can be if you go out and buy everything first class. First of all, you don't need first class.
No.
But secondly, if you look at Craigslist and yard sales, tons of people have good intentions. They buy camping equipment, and they never even use it once, or they use it once and never use it again.
Or they like it so much they upgrade it, and then you have the starter equipment available for sale.
And, you know, pray and ask the Lord to provide, because yep. When we were making that huge trip we made a few years ago out in California, we needed new tents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so worried because I couldn't find anything big enough for our family for less than about $300, which we didn't have.
Right.
And I remember us praying, Lord, please show us what to do. Provide something used. Provide what we need. And do you remember we walked into Sam's Club one day?
Yes.
And they had marked down these 10 by 18 foot tents.
Huge.
To $50 each. And we bought two of them.
Yeah. And we've traveled all the way to the West Coast and back twice now.
Yeah.
With those same two $50 tents. It's just remarkable what God provides. And so, you know, that's an option. Camping. And sometimes, too, I remember the trip that we made one year. We camped at Civil War battlefields up in Virginia and Maryland.
Oh,
and
that was a blast.
In Pennsylvania, you know. So we weren't maybe not on the battlefield, but we were, you know, there at the site. And that kind of added to the experience to think, you know, the men that were here were sleeping under canvas and in the weather and all, too.
Yeah, I want to say this. Mm-hmm. Because many moms say, look, I am too old to sleep on the ground, and I am so there, Hal.
Yeah.
The technology of air mattresses has increased tremendously in recent years. And now you can get a high loft air mattress.
Yeah, it's like a mattress, like a
it's
home
like a
mattress.
Bed. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a bed. Yeah. And they're easy to get into and out of, and they're really quite comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And so don't let that stop you from camping.
Okay. Well, now, all right, maybe camping's not your style. Maybe it's the wrong time of year.
Oh, like whatever. The time we went to Saskatchewan in February?
Yeah, that was not camping weather. Okay. Well, now, what are some other low-cost ways? Well, you know what the early church used to do, and what even into the last century was fairly common? People stayed with other families along the route. They would take a letter of introduction from their church. They would write ahead and say, you know, to the church in their denomination and ask, is there anybody who can open their home for hospitality or such? And the Mennonite church was famous for this. And they, for many years, were doing this thing by letter. This was long before the internet. But then what they... somebody said, well, you know what, we could just do this as a directory. That would save so much on postage, and we could just call ahead, make it convenient. And so they opened up a directory. It's called Mennonite Your Way. Now, this is really fun, okay, because it's not just Mennonites. All sorts of Christians are involved with it now. And in fact, the chairman of it is Presbyterian. But
it's great because it tells what's available at someone's house, and it tells you a little bit about them. What they do for a living, what denomination they are, whether they have pets in the house. And in the Mennonite Your Way directory, mm-hmm. they do ask that you leave a donation for the family discreetly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's like $10 for each adult and $2 for each child or something.
Yeah, it really works out to be about half what you pay for a hotel room.
Well, you know, I remember one of our sons one of our adult sons came to travel with us on one of these trips, and he's like, I cannot believe you guys are doing this. I cannot believe you're staying with strangers. I said, son, look, you don't list yourself on a Christian hospitality network unless you have the gift of hospitality.
Yeah. You don't do it if you don't want to do it.
And so after he'd stayed in about three different fascinating homes with interesting people, he said, look, you know, I want to put my apartment on this list because this is great.
Yeah, and so you see, this is a great option. It's easy to look ahead and see what's available. Now, you can't just walk in like a hotel, but a lot of these people say, look, if you give us 10 or 12 hours notice, we've got guest rooms, you know, we've got space in the basement with a rollaway bed or whatever.
Well, a lot of times it's homeschool families or large families and their kids have grown up and left home.
Right.
And they, you know, we've stayed in places where they had bed space for 10.
Yeah. Or they've got space to park an RV if you're pulling a trailer.
And they don't think twice about a large family showing up.
Right.
My favorite hospitality network, though, is A Candle in the Window.
Now, that's a neat one.
It's acandleinthewindow.com. Mm-hmm. It was started by a Christian homeschool family in Florida, and it's mainly Christian homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no charge to stay. It's just reciprocal hospitality. You welcome people in. And we have met some incredibly neat fellow homeschool Christians there. And that is wonderful because, see, I think it's an experience for our children to meet different Christians from different areas of the country mm-hmm. and to stay in people's homes and to meet them. And we have made some lifelong friends staying and sharing Christian hospitality with people.
It's really neat. It's a different mindset. You have to get over some shyness at first. But once you stay there a couple of times, you say, oh, I see now.
Yeah,
I get it.
And I say that is hard for me, Hal.
Yeah.
I'm by nature very shy. Stop laughing, people. It's the mm-hmm. truth. Okay, I really am. And I really have to steel myself to do it. But, you know, we have had the most delightful experiences. I remember staying with a family from one of these networks in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Right.
And we walked in, and we didn't know much about this family. And we got talking, and she looked at me, and she said, are you homeschoolers? I said, yes. She said, we homeschooled all our children. They're all grown now. And we just had the sweetest fellowship. And the next morning, mm-hmm. the husband got up early and went out to the store and bought a special Saskatchewan sausage that mm-hmm. he had growing up and made us a special breakfast, sent us on our way with local treats. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Great way to meet people. And a great way to save on cost. Now, another option is available. If you are in ministry, if you're a member of clergy, if you're on church staff somewhere, you know, there's a network called Servant Care.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that is for people who are in full-time Christian ministry. And you have to get a letter from your pastor, elders, somebody with a church that can certify that you are.
Yeah.
Okay. But this works the same way. And I don't think there's any charge for in that network, is there?
I think if there is, they tell you in advance for an individual. Yeah, it seems like there's a small charge.
Small charge, okay.
But there are several different options for ministry hospitality for people who are in full-time ministry.
Right.
Like us traveling around speaking. There are people who welcome, particularly who have prophets' chambers, is what they call them.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Just like the widow did.
Yeah, the widow that kept the chamber for Elijah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there are people who have prophets' chambers who just love to show God's servants hospitality, and we've enjoyed that several times.
Well, if you'd like more information about that kind of thing, you can just go out and Google terms like Christian hospitality or ministry hospitality or missionary hospitality, see what comes up, do some research. But I tell you what, Mennonite Your Way, we've never been disappointed.
No, and
A Candle in the Window,
those have been fantastic. And occasionally mm-hmm. Christian camps mm-hmm. will open a cabin or something to individual families, too. That's worth checking out.
That's right. One thing I would put a footnote on that, it really helps if you've got some sleeping bags. Okay, because
yes.
a lot of times people will open their doors and say, I've got a guest room that'll sleep two or sleep four, and maybe you've got four kids with you. Well, if they've got sleeping bags, then they can just roll them out on the floor. And the people who do this expect that. It's not a shock to them or anything else, okay? So
now, finding inexpensive sleeping bags, sometimes at Walmart around Christmas, mm-hmm. and then again at the beginning of the summer, they'll have sleeping bags.
Right.
Also, yard sales, ask friends and family. Tons of people have a closet full that they're not using that they can share with you. And even a military surplus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what, if you're going to just be using it for indoor camping, which is a legitimate use, okay, you don't need to get a sub-zero rated Polartec type of sleeping bag.
You can get something inexpensive.
You can get them on sale at Walmart at different times. You know, so just have fun with this. It's something that, that is a really good option for taking your whole family on these important trips that you couldn't afford otherwise. Well, look, I'm looking at the time. We need to put in a little blurb here. Where have we been? We just got back from Spokane, but this week...
This week we're going to teach them diligently in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
That's right. April 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Spartanburg. And we are going to be speaking 6 times this weekend.
And we're doing one of what I think is one of the most important sessions we're doing this year. It's called Passing the Baton.
Right.
About getting ready for that transition to adulthood. Mm-hmm. You know, come and hear it. I think you're going to love it.
That's right. Go to teachthemdiligently.net for more information. And, you know, speaking of transitions,
yes,
we're going to be starting next week our latest class of Boot Camp 9 to 12.
And that's one of the most popular things we do.
Yes, it is.
It's a webinar series. We meet once a week live.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach, and you see us on video, mm-hmm, and you see our PowerPoint slides, and you can chat. You can chat the whole time we're teaching. You can ask questions,
yep,
you know, make comments. And at the end, we'll take questions as long as you guys want to hang around.
That's right. It's like going to a conference workshop, but you can ask the speaker questions while they're talking.
Oh, it's so much fun. And if you miss it, if you can't show up live,
mm-hmm,
the whole thing, chat, video, and all, is recorded, and you can look at it whenever you want to. And we have had people join us literally from around the world.
That's right. So if you want more information on that, come to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp. Okay, that's Bootcamp 9 to 12. It starts April 10th.
Yes, for parents of 9 to 12-year-old boys, no, aliens have not taken over his brain.
Yeah.
Come find out what to do.
That's right. Okay, well, if you're joining us late in the program, I'm Hal.
I'm Melanie.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical, and we're talking about making family travel affordable.
That's right. Okay. What happens, though, if you can't find hospitality? Maybe you're in the middle of a big city. Maybe you need to stay in Phoenix, which is an expensive place to stay.
Maybe you've got a stomach virus going through and you just don't want to share that
with
a new friend.
Yeah, that happened to us recently. That was really bad.
Sometimes a hotel is the best option. And if you're going to be coming in at 2 in the morning, you know, that kind of
thing.
Okay, well, how do you... You know what? Somebody tipped us off to this. We've all seen the Priceline.com advertisements with William Shatner, the negotiator, and all that kind of thing, right? And I was always a little hit, you know, edgy about that. I wasn't so sure about it. But
really, you know, it's worked very well for us, Hal.
One of our friends who's a speaker said, look, here's the way the system works. Priceline really has a couple of different options. One of them, the one that everybody knows about, is name your own price. You go into Priceline, you say, I want a 3-star hotel in downtown Kansas City, and I'm willing to pay. How much are you willing to pay? And you put that in, and it'll try to match you up. What happens is hotels always have a few extra rooms they can't reserve, and when it looks like they're going to have empty rooms, they would rather give them to a service like Priceline to sell them at a discount and at least fill up the facility.
And so
sometimes you can get top-flight hotel rooms at very low prices.
Oh, we stayed in what was it, in the capital of Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin,
yeah,
which is an outrageously expensive place,
yeah,
at an extremely fancy hotel for $40 a night.
Yeah, and okay, that's a big win. They aren't all that good. But that's if you go and do the name your price thing. I can tell you that the hotel rating system on Priceline is actually more strict than on other hotel sites. So,
and anything 2.5 and better is going to be really nice.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
A two-star on Priceline is more like a 3-star on other, like hotels.com and such.
And 2.5 or better is really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of things you need to know about bidding on Priceline,
uh-huh,
is they control how often you can rebid.
Yeah.
But when it says if you add another area,
yeah,
you can rebid, look for an area that does not have a hotel,
mm-hmm,
as highly rated as the kind you want. You can add that area and bid again,
okay,
and it doesn't penalize you at all. You're still going to get in the area you want to be in.
That's right. And so that's an option. But say that you're not a gambling type of person, and we're not gamblers, but say that you just are not comfortable with bidding unknown on a hotel.
Or you don't have time. Sometimes we just don't have time to go through that process.
Okay. They have another option called their express deals, which are just like conventional hotel listings. The only difference is because a big hotel downtown doesn't want to say, hello, Internet, we can't fill up our hotel. We might be having a little rough water here.
Yeah.
Instead, what they keep that hotel name anonymous. All right. Now, that can be that's something that you have to deal with. But, again, if you know that 2- and 3-star hotels on Priceline are good hotels, and you go in there and say, look, they have a hotel in this neighborhood, because they'll put up a map and say, we guarantee your hotel is in this neighborhood
and
here.
And sometimes that'll be the only 2.5-star listed in their list of hotels. You know what the hotel is.
Yeah, that's easy. You can figure that out.
Yeah, but 2.5 or better, you look at it, it'll tell you whether it includes breakfast or not. You can tell a lot about the hotel. In fact, very often I'm able to figure out what hotel it is, or at least we narrow it down to one or two.
Okay.
And good prices.
And in that, they give you the price. Okay. They tell you the price. They just don't tell you the precise hotel it is. Okay. So, but try it out and see what you get, because I tell you what, we have gotten places like Country Inn and Suites. We've gotten into, are some of the ones? What was the one downtown in Charleston, West Virginia? Do you remember?
Oh, baby, I'm so tired, I can't think of names.
I can't recall.
But we've had really good experiences. Excellent. I do want to say this, too.
Yes.
One huge advantage of Priceline is they do not ask you how many people are staying in the room. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have a big family, but if we're just staying just to sleep and get up early the next morning and go on, there's no reason we can't put a couple of kids on the floor in sleeping bags.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you register through Priceline, you're not going to have to say how many kids are in the room and maybe upset somebody. So that's a real advantage.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's talk about travel itself, Hal.
Okay.
Because how do you make it inexpensive? We are flying on this trip. And
right, because the group that sponsored us paid for it.
Well, and because it was in Spokane and we had just a couple of days to get there and back.
We got to be back in South Carolina in just a few days. And
right.
So we are flying this time. Well, you know what? If you got to fly, we've really got two stops for us. Now, there's a lot of travel sites. There's Orbitz, there's Travelocity, there's Expedia, and Priceline, too. But for flying, the best one for us is called Kayak. Why in the world? KAYAK.com.
Now, the cool thing about Kayak is that it allows you to see how the prices change over time.
Right.
It has charts you can look at that will show you how the prices have gone up and down, and you can kind of make some decisions. You can also say, tell me what's the best price within this week.
Right.
And sometimes delaying leaving, we have found that it is way cheaper often to leave on Monday.
Yes.
And to have and to pay for the hotel room on Sunday night than it is to fly on Sunday, for example.
That's right. So you might find that changing the dates of your vacation or your trip by 1 or 2 days at either end might save you hundreds of dollars, literally.
Right.
Okay, and Kayak has the tools on there to allow you to do that and to see, or maybe go to an alternate airport. Instead of flying into San Francisco, maybe you fly into San Jose, which is just right across the bay. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do on Kayak. One thing you cannot do is get a reservation for Southwest Airlines.
And you need to check Southwest, because the big advantage of Southwest is they allow you to travel with 2 50-pound suitcases and check them free. And they allow you to have free carry-ons. And the drinks and snacks, soft drinks and snacks on the plane are all free. I just don't like that, the way so many airlines are nickel and diming you to death. You look at their fare, and their fare looks cheaper. But when you add in $120 for your bags to travel each way, and then add in the Coke you've got to have because it's a 6-hour flight, you know, by the time you add everything in, they're actually way more expensive.
So what we found with Southwest is although actually their fares are very comparable, but Southwest giving you those two bags for free, that's worth sometimes $60 to even $100 or more on any other airline, okay?
Now, you know, they also have a fantastic customer service. They're funny. They're kind of smart aleck.
Yeah.
But they're really funny and kind. People have been so kind to us at Southwest. We love it.
Yeah.
Now, what if you drive?
Okay. And you know what? We try to drive. Because like Melanie said earlier, when we got into this ministry thing, you know, we said it would be a bitter irony if we lost our own children in the process of helping other parents raise theirs.
Forget that.
And so we decided wherever we can, we're going to take our family. And that means we drive about 30,000 miles a year.
Oh, and people think we're crazy. We just got back from driving to Kansas City and back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We had a great time with our kids.
Yeah, and we can do it because we can afford to stay places inexpensively along the route. But what about just the simple fuel cost?
You need to pray for people who are speaking and traveling, the people that are serving you, because gas costs have just ripped into all of us.
Well,
I found out a couple of years ago, Hal, that the additional gas, I looked at the amount of gas we bought in a year,
right,
and the cost under the previous administration versus the cost it cost us that year, we could have supported our whole family a month on the difference.
That's a serious increase, because, you know, you remember just a few years ago, gas was down around $2 a gallon, and now it's routinely it's up around 4 and higher. And so what do you do about this? Well, I'll tell you what, I found a website called GasBuddy, GasBuddy, GasBuddy.com. And what it is, it's one of these kind of wiki sort of sites where people report in, just drivers who have accounts report in and say, hey, the Exxon station at the corner of Main and Broad Street, it has unleaded gas at $3.15 a gallon. Okay, so they reported. So what you have is like all of these field reports about the actual prices of gas at particular stations all over the U.S. and Canada. Now, what they do, besides helping you flag this, and they've got an app to put on your smartphone, too, so you can do it while you're driving, but they have a couple of tools there. One thing they do is they compile the average gasoline price by county and by state. And so you can pull up this color-coded map. They call it their gas price heat map. And it's a very simple color-coded map. You can look and say, you know what? We're going to drive from North Carolina to Kansas City, and I can see West Virginia is an expensive place to buy gas.
So I need to fill up in Virginia, which is a cheap place to buy gas.
Yes.
And then Kentucky, which is cheap.
That's right.
And skip West Virginia. It really can save you significant money.
When
you'd be surprised. We have seen differences in one trip of over $1.50 a gallon.
That's right. And so you can look at that and say, you know what? If I can just hold on for another 25 miles and get out of Illinois, it's going to be much cheaper if I buy it in one of the neighboring states, because it is. Okay, so that's one thing you can do. But they also have a tool called a trip cost calculator. And what this does is you say, I'm going to go from Raleigh, North Carolina to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you put that in, and then you tell them what kind of car you've got. And it will automatically calculate how often you need to get gas and suggest gas station stops along the way to minimize your cost.
Okay. Boy, that's useful. And you know, you can put in the make and model of your car.
Yes.
But if you can also change it a little bit, so it'll give you a stop. Like, we like to stop every couple of hours.
Yeah.
For health and safety reasons.
Sure.
You know, because, at our age, you shouldn't be sitting in a car for hours and hours without getting up and walking around.
That's right. And so what I do when I get on there to check the gasoline cost of things, I'll say, well, the car that I'm driving gets 10 miles a gallon, and we have a 10-gallon gas tank. So what that means
now,
is...
Now, we really have a 27-gallon gas tank.
Right. But what that does is the program will then pick gas stops every 100 miles. Okay? And so about every 2 hours, I know this is going to be the cheapest place to get gas in that neighborhood. And, you know, you might change your mind. A lot of times, there's one gas station in a big cluster. You can kind of pick and choose when you get there. But that will help us plan a little bit more... with a little more forethought on something even as mundane as where we stop to get gas.
Now, I want to give them the tip that they've been waiting for the whole time. How do you survive traveling with a bunch of young children?
Yes, how indeed?
It's called the mandatory bathroom stop.
Okay.
Okay, combine your gas, meal, and bathroom stops whenever possible. So you think ahead. Say, okay, we're going to stop in about 20 miles. Everybody get your shoes on. Okay.
Yeah.
When we stop, somebody is delegated to go get the stuff out of the cooler for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's delegated to load up, to fill up the tank with gas. And every single person is required to go to the bathroom.
Even if you didn't think you had to.
They are told you must go and you must try. Because if you don't, you know what? That kid who swore they didn't have to go will have to go 10 miles down the road. In fact, we had one child who did this one time in the desert. You know what, guys? You can go 100 miles but never see another gas station.
That's right.
And we got out in the desert. He said, I don't need to go. He wanted to sleep.
Yeah, he just wanted to snooze.
Well, he realized as soon as we got back on the road, he actually did need to go. So he challenged his younger brother to a water drinking contest.
Oh, that's mean.
That was mean. So his younger brother would have to say he had to go.
Well, guess what? If you have to pull off the side of the road in the desert, there's not even a bush, thank you.
No, if you want to get behind a bush in the desert, you have to lie down on your side.
So, I mean, that's pretty awkward. You have to kind of take shelter behind the trailer or something. It's pretty bad.
That's horrible.
So, just say that. Look, we're trying to minimize our time, make this as efficient as possible. So when we have to stop anyway, let's all go to the restroom. Let's get the stuff out to make lunch. And you know what? You'll find, and sometimes too, we found that it helps to give people a little bit of a challenge. Say, let's make this a 10-minute stop. Because you can get in one of these big travel centers or truck stops, and you can wander around shopping and thinking about stuff.
You can drop 40 minutes
on
every 2
stuff.
Hours. It's going to take you forever to get there. Instead, you can say, if you can beat 6 minutes,
yeah,
everybody will get a treat or something. You know, yeah, do something to make it competitive, especially if you have guys.
That's right.
We thank you so much for joining us on Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. We have been talking about affording traveling with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us. Maybe, Hal, maybe next week we should talk about how you afford the food part.
Well, that might be a good thing.
Because I tell you what, if you stop and get Cokes in restaurants and at the gas stations for 10 people, that'll put you out.
That will. Okay, so join us again next week on Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We thank you for your time this week, and we hope to see you sometime shortly, okay?
See you later, folks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.